What kind of harvest are you yielding? This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Monday, and God wants us to remember that nothing can happen to us that God and we together cannot handle. I know those words roll off my lips every Monday when I start the program. I know I make it sound so easy. Of course it's not easy. Don't believe me if I give you the impression it's easy. It's far from being easy, but it's possible. Why is it possible? Because God takes the lead on this. God is the one who supplies the grace, the strength, the courage, the wisdom. You know, how was your weekend? Was it a difficult weekend? Instead of relaxing, was it a very challenging, difficult weekend? Then you know what you got to do. You got to not be afraid of this Monday. You don't want to look back. Looking back just causes us to become discouraged. This is a new week as far as perhaps work or school, whatever. So you need right now to make this leap of faith, and I use that word advisedly, this leap of faith to allow yourself to feel, experience the power of God, that God's going to be with you. So if this day becomes a little difficult, a little more challenging than perhaps the weekend was, you know that God is with you. He's right there, not walking behind you. He's walking in front of you. He's the good shepherd. We're the sheep. We follow the good shepherd. He'll know where the rocky roads are and give us extra strength. He'll know where the water might be not good for us, so we won't drink from the well that the world wants us to drink from. We'll drink from the well of Jesus Christ, who gives us life-giving water. Okay? Here's today's scripture passage. Very short, from Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Thus, by their fruits, you will recognize them. That's why I asked at the beginning of the program, what kind of harvest are you yielding? Yielding, okay? Are you bearing fruit? That's the only way we know if your prayer life is effective. It's the only way we know that you genuinely are a Christian and not just paying lip service to your Christian vocation. It's the only way, when all is said and done, all the other proofs, the bottom line is, are you yielding fruit? Is your harvest plentiful? Now, I have a number of stories that I want to share with you to make this point. Okay? Let me share the first one with you. There is a story about two men, both Italian sculptors and contemporaries, named Donatello and Michelangelo. One day, Donatello received delivery of a huge block of marble. After examining it carefully, Donatello rejected the marble because it was too flawed and cracked for him to use. Now, this was long before forklifts and hydraulic lifts, so the workmen moved the heavy load by using a series of log rulers. Rather than struggle back to the quarry, the quick-thinking haulers decided to deliver it down the street to Michelangelo. After all, he was known to be a little absent-minded. He might not realize that he had not ordered the 3-ton block of marble. When Michelangelo inspected the marble, he saw the same cracks and flaws as did Donatello. But he also saw the block as a challenge to his artistic skills. It became a personal challenge he could not pass up. So Michelangelo accepted the block of marble that Donatello had already rejected as too flawed and too cracked to be of any use. Michelangelo proceeded to carve from that seemingly useless block of marble what is considered to be one of the world's greatest art treasures, the Statue of David. End of story. Well, there you have it. Obviously, Michelangelo's life bore great fruit. And I've seen the Statue of David more than once. It is impressive. Impressive, knowing that he had the most primitive tools to do it. Okay, so talk is cheap. I don't want to hear it, okay? I want to hear, oh yes, I follow Jesus Christ. Oh yes, Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior. Show me the fruits. Talk is cheap. Where's the justice in your life? Where's the forgiveness in your life? Where's the charity in your life? Where's time for prayer in your life? Okay. Now to make this point, I have another story I want to share with you. Okay. It was written by Alan McGinnis. It's entitled Hidden Capacities. He writes, "History books are full of stories of gifted persons whose talents were overlooked by a procession of people until someone believed in them. For example, Albert Einstein was 4 years old before he could speak and 7 before he could read. Isaac Newton did poorly in grade school. A newspaper editor fired Walt Disney because he said he had no good ideas. Wernher von Braun failed ninth grade algebra, and yet he was involved in the first rocket. Joseph Haydn gave up on making a musician out of Beethoven, who seemed to him a slow and plodding man with no apparent talent. There is a lesson in such stories. Different people develop at different rates, and the best motivators are always on the lookout for hidden capacities." Well, now why do I share that story with you? Because maybe you're a slow bloomer, since I'm using the idea of harvest. Maybe you are a slow bloomer. Maybe for whatever reason you got a late start. Can you imagine Einstein not being able to talk till he was 4 and not being able to read till he was 7? So even if you got a late start, that doesn't mean you can't be full court press now. You are really trying to follow Jesus Christ. You're trying to make His good news real for people. You are trying to build His kingdom in that little part of the world you happen to work, live, play. You know, so don't tell me you're too old. Or don't tell me you have no talents. Well, don't tell me you're afraid. Well, you can tell me you're afraid, but you know what I'm going to say. Fear is useless. What is needed is trust. We do these things because we trust that God will bring them to perfection. Psalm 90 says, "Prosper the work of our hands for us. Prosper the work of our hands." Okay, the last story I want to share with you is anonymous. I don't know who wrote this, but this is good. It's entitled, "The Process of Trying." A small college basketball team celebrated a team mass in preparation for their first venture in the NCAA March Madness tournament. During the homily, the team chaplain said that 10 years from now, the important thing about their basketball season will not be whether they won the championship or not. The important thing will be what they became in the process of trying to win the title. Did they become better human beings? Did they become more loving? Did they become more loyal to one another? Did they become more committed? Did they grow as a team and as individuals? Well, after the mass, while taking off his vestments, the priest heard the coach address his players. He said, "Sit down a minute. Father said something that is bothering me right now. I wonder what I have helped you become in the process of trying to put together a winning season. Have you become better humans? Have you become more loving? Have you become more loyal to one another? Have you become more committed? Have you grown as a team and as individuals? If you did, then regardless of what we do in the tournament, we are a success already. If you did not, then we have failed God. We have filled your families, we have filled your school, and we have filled one another." And then the coach ended by saying, "I hope to God that we have not failed. I pray to God that we have not failed." Okay? So, always remember, there's a difference between your vocation and your career. You will take your vocation to heaven, you will not take your career to heaven. Now, your Christian vocation comes from the word calling. Your Christian vocation is to follow Jesus Christ in good times and in bad times, in sickness and health, rich or poor, all the days of your life. Your Christian vocation is to spread good news, not bad news. Your Christian vocation is to say to a world that's filled with so much hate, violence, and the vicious cycle of reprisals, "Enough, stop, Stop now. Talk about forgiveness and reconciliation. Your Christian vocation tells you that you should share your toys with your brothers and sisters. Your Christian vocation tells you to give people the benefit of the doubt. Truly, they should be innocent until proven guilty. Your Christian vocation says that you should tithe. Yes, tithe. 10%. 10% of your income should go to the poor, to your church, however you want to spend it. Some people do 5% to the church and 5% to the poor. Your Christian vocation tells you that you can always start over. That you can get down on your knees, or if you're like me and you can't kneel anymore, you can sit there and you can say to Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know what fruit that bears? You know what kind of harvest comes from saying, have mercy on me, a sinner? It makes you humble. It makes you more forgiving. It makes you more understanding of other people's human weaknesses and failings. It makes you quick to forgive, 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 forgive. Okay. So there you have it, brothers and sisters. What kind of harvest are you yielding? The question of the day. Your call. Your answer. Who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for bishops, okay? Bishops who are the local pastors of a diocese who carry a heavy, heavy burden. May God help them be humble. May God give them a servant's heart. May God give them great wisdom. May God give them a great love for their priest. All right, here's today's food for thought. Tomorrow is the devil's motto. Tomorrow is the devil's motto. Yeah. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Today. Now today. Make your commitment to Jesus. Today. Live your Christian vocation to the fullest. Today's small attempt to make you smile and laugh. I like this. An elderly backwoods preacher said to his congregation one Sunday, there will be baptisms in the church next Sunday. I'm going to baptize 2 adults and 6 adulteresses. I liked it. Contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you and that you listen to the program. Send me your prayer intentions. I'll pray about them. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. There's no charge for it. Only place you'll find my preaching schedule. And please, could you send me a check to support my hospital for the poor in Oaxaca, Mexico? Make the check out to TASH, Tash Inc., and send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And visit my website, Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light, and where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful Lord, we adore thee.